Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Well, here we are again, another year over, another one beginning. Doesn't seem all that long ago, we were coming into 2009 and now we're into 2010. Maybe that's a sign of my age, I don't know, but it does seem to rush by very quickly. You know, I was trying to think, what can we say about a new year? What can we say that's different about the start of a new year? You know, it's quite difficult to think of anything new, isn't it? I mean, every time we come to a new year, we start thinking about what's happened behind and what's going to happen ahead of us. But, you know, January the 1st, it's just another day, isn't it? There's nothing magical about it. It's not going to make us suddenly different to what we've always been. It's not going to suddenly change us simply because the calendar changes. And yet we always look at the new year, don't we? We regard it as a time to look back over what's happened, maybe to learn some lessons from what's happened, and a time to look forward, normally with some determination to change. That's what New Year's resolution is all about, isn't it? All of us, and even people who are non-Christians, think, well, you know, there are things in my life that perhaps ought to be different, so I'm going to make a New Year's resolution, and I'm going to try and change. And, you know, those things probably last sometimes a few days, sometimes a few minutes, but they don't always last very long, do they? But how was 2009 for you? Was it a good year for you? It's quite a difficult year for the country, wasn't it? Economically, things haven't been good, but all sorts of issues and problems. It's been difficult in many ways, some of us as well, but it's also been a time of great blessing. When you look at the TV and listen to the radio, look at the newspapers, they're always full of reviews of the year, aren't they, at this time? They remind us of what's gone on in the past year. Especially things like the, you know, great sporting events, our triumphs in sport, or so often our failures in sport. But this year, of course, we had a great time of cricket, didn't we? We won the Ashes, we showed the Australians a thing or two. Wimbledon, Roger Federer broke records, amazing stuff there. We had a world champion in Formula One with Jenson Button, again, something that we can be proud of in this country. Football. We've even had quite a good time with football in the last year or so, haven't we, with the World Cup qualification. And, of course, we're looking forward to the expectation to the World Cup this year. And we'll probably be doomed to failure, as always, but we've got that hope at the moment anyway. Of course, in football, much the same. Manchester United champions, as always. That tends to be quite a regular thing. If you're a Liverpool supporter, I'm very sorry for you, but that's the way it is sometimes. But all these things, you know, we can look back, can't we? We can look forward to what we're hoping is going to happen in the new year. I mean, a lot of the news stories last year were dominated with continuing events in places like Afghanistan and Iraq and the terrible things that are going on there. Over 100 British soldiers killed in the last year alone in Afghanistan. And the tragedy that continues to happen there. The violence that carries on in the Middle East in spite of all the hopes that keep springing up in the Middle East. The bloodshed continues. There are the US presidential elections, and for the first time ever, there's been a black president elected. I don't know what that really means, but, you know, it was a big thing in America, wasn't it? And, of course, our own government and the expenses scandal and all the things that have gone along with that. The weather, of course, has made headlines. As usual, we had snow at the start of the year and snow at the end of the year, and in between we had torrential rain and floods, and again, all sorts of issues and tragedies with that. Terrorism has continued, threats of more terrorism, piracy from Somalia, and so it goes on, doesn't it? Some things good, some things not so good. What about us, though? What about you? What about me? When we look back, you keep quiet, Zoe, please. When we look back over the year, has it been a good year or has it been a bad year? Indifferent, maybe. More importantly, how has it been spiritually? How has it been spiritually for you as an individual? How has it been spiritually for us as a fellowship. If we ask ourselves the question, you know, if I hadn't been here in the last year, how would that have affected the kingdom of God? How big a difference would that have made to what God's doing in this world if I hadn't been here? That's an unfair question, I suppose, in many ways. We can't always tell the effect we have. When you think about It's a Wonderful Life with James Stewart, and you see the effect he had. But what would have happened if I hadn't been here this year? How much difference have I made to what God's been doing in this world? Can you look back over the last year and say that whatever you've done for God, you've done the best you possibly could? Are you able to look back and say that you have made a difference? The Apostle Paul could, when he said to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 7 there, he was content that he'd done his best. You know, I find that amazing, that he could say, I've run the race, I've fought the fight, and I'm looking forward to the crown that God has in store for me. He'd not always succeeded. Things haven't always been easy for him, far from it. But he did know that he'd done the best he could. Paul was reflecting on his life rather than just the past year. His life was nearly over and he knew it. So perhaps it was a bit more poignant for him than it is for us looking back over 1 year. And I'm quite sure Paul was not perfect and didn't get everything right. But his relationship with God was such that he could say that he was content with what he'd done, with the effort he'd made. What about you? What about me? You know, things for me have been very different this year, of course, but can I honestly say that I've done my best for God? I don't think I can, if I'm honest. There's always things that I think I could have done better or could have done more. As a fellowship, where are we? You know, I think we can be encouraged in many ways over the last year. I think there has been progress. Of course, I wasn't here at the start of last year, and I couldn't not give my normal what have you been doing and where are we going message last year. But I think if I had been, I could have said, you know, we have changed as a fellowship. We have moved on. We've seen God working amongst us. We've seen God doing things. We've seen answers to prayer. But we still have to ask ourselves the question, have we done all that we could? Have we made an impact on Andover in the last year? We certainly had the opportunities. We've had the Christianity Explore course, which has been encouraging. Discipleship courses, which have been really encouraging and well attended. We've had contact with all sorts of people and lots of new faces through the door. But I look back and I wonder, as a fellowship, how have we moved on in the last year? And I think there have been encouraging things. I think we can look back and see God working amongst us. But we mustn't get complacent in that. We mustn't think that that's it, that we're doing okay. Because there's always room for improvement, isn't there? As a fellowship and as individuals. You know, as I said, I can remember preaching, you know, New Year's sermons over the years, and it's always the same sort of thing, I guess. We need to learn from the past and move on to the future. And yet, how much really changes? You know, sometimes I think we get enthusiastic and then that enthusiasm begins to wane. And so often we just carry out our religious duties. Do we still have drive and vision for the future? Do we still want to do what God wants us to do? Are we excited and encouraged about the future? Are we keen to move on with God? In spite of all that's happened, in spite of the problems we've had and the encouragements we've had, there's always a danger that we can become too comfortable where we are. You know, I was looking through my bookcase the other day, which is why I started thinking about these things again. And I came across a book that Karen had read a few years ago called If You Want to Walk on the Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And I remember the impact it had on her at the time. And I remember we spoke about it here quite a lot as well. And the thing that struck both of us at the time about that book was the point he makes about we live in a comfort zone and we're afraid to get out of that comfort zone. And I was reminded of that as I just saw that book on my bookshelf the other day. And I thought, yeah, it's true, isn't it? And so easily we can slip back. No matter how well we've perhaps done, we can slip back into a comfort zone. You know that story of Jesus walking on the water and Peter and the other disciples in the boat? There's so much in just that one story for us as Christians, isn't there? You know, Peter wasn't the greatest of guys. You know, if something could be gotten wrong, Peter was the man to do it. He always opened his mouth and put his foot straight in it, didn't he, Peter? You know, he was very impetuous, but he was keen as well. You know, he wanted to do what God wanted. And putting aside all of Peter's failures for a moment, one thing about that story reminds us that he was the one that got out of the boat. The rest stayed in their comfort zone. There were 12 disciples in that boat, but only Peter got out. He was the one that put himself on the line. He was actually the only one that could fail in that situation, because he was the only one prepared to do something. Where are you this morning? Sitting in the boat? Why is it so often we've become comfortable? We're perhaps not inspired as we should be. Perhaps the problem lies with the teaching we get. I hope not. It's not perfect, of course. Never is. There's always room for improvement. But I think, generally speaking, the preaching and teaching that we get from everybody here is consistently sound and biblically based. There's always room for improvement. But, you know, it doesn't matter really how good the preaching is. If we as individuals don't act upon it, then whatever we hear will make no difference to us. You know, Jesus constantly said, didn't he? You know, listen, be hearers of the word. But he didn't just mean listen by that. He meant listen and act upon it. Do something about it. If we don't act upon what we hear and what God tells us, we're never going to change. We're never going to be different. Unless we want to change, unless we're prepared to get out of our comfort zones, it won't matter who preaches from the front and how good they are or how wonderful the things they say. It won't make any difference. It certainly is the preacher's job to challenge, to shake us out of our complacency. But we still have to do something about it. Hearing the word is not good enough. We have to act upon it. And this is really the crux of the matter. And it's what we've been really centering on in our studies in James in the evenings, isn't it? Hearing and doing. How we react to what we hear indicates our relationship with God. How we react to what we hear indicates our relationship with God. You know, Peter's relationship with Jesus was such that he had the confidence to jump out of that boat when his master called him. He was prepared to act upon his faith and the trust he had in Jesus. But it won't matter what I or anyone else says from the front if we all continue to make excuses about what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do. If we don't really want to change, we'll find a way of not changing. You know, we could read through the Bible and I could read it, and I am wholeheartedly sure that the Bible tells us that Sunday should be a different day to the rest of the week. We should rest on the Sabbath day. We shouldn't buy or sell. But if you want to continue doing that, you'll find a way around it. You'll find an excuse. I'm convinced the Bible tells us that we shouldn't drink too much and that getting drunk is wrong. But if you want to carry on doing that, you'll find a reason. You'll find an excuse. I could tell you that stealing from work and taking little things from work is wrong. It's theft. But if you want to carry on doing it, you'll find a reason. you'll find an excuse. I could say that watching certain television programs or films, reading certain books or magazines, isn't good for you as a Christian. But if you want to carry on doing it, you'll find an excuse. I could tell you that doing the lottery is wrong. I could tell you that being crude or vulgar is wrong. I could tell you all sorts of things. I could tell you that speeding is breaking the law. Not wearing a seatbelt is breaking the law. It's wrong as a Christian. I could tell you all those things. And I'm convinced the Bible teaches those quite clearly. But if you don't want to change, if you don't want to make any difference, you'll find an excuse. I've picked on a few things there, I'm sure some of which I can certainly identify with, and I'm sure perhaps many of you can identify with. And maybe it's made you feel a little bit uncomfortable, as I've said some of those things. Well, that's good. It's my job to make you feel uncomfortable. But we need to challenge ourselves on these things, don't we? Not just those are just some things I've picked at random, really. We need to challenge ourselves with God's word and ask ourselves, am I prepared to change, to become more like Jesus? Am I prepared to get out of my comfort zone so that I can make a difference for God? We're so often happy to excuse our own failings whilst pointing at everybody else's. We're content to do the things we want to do, even if we know in our hearts it's not really what God wants, because it's part of our comfortable lifestyle. The truth is, there must be no more excuses if we want to move on with God. If you want to make a difference, if you want to become Christ-like, you can't make excuses to God. The truth is that God's word and the preaching of that word should make us uncomfortable at times. If it doesn't, it's not really doing what it's there for. We need to be shaken out of our comfort zones. We need to be stirred up if we're ever going to get out of that boat and follow Jesus. You know, when I get to the end of my years, I don't want to look back and be disappointed. I don't want to look back and wish that I'd done more for God. You know, one of the things that has really come home to me recently is that what really matters in life is not how much money I've got, how big my house is, how many cars I've got, but what I've done for God. That's what really matters. The only thing that is going to count into eternity is what we have done for God. I want to be able to look back, as Paul did, and say that I ran the race, that I did my best, that I made a difference, not because of who I am, but because God was working through me. But if that's going to be the case, I've got to make the effort. I've got to get out of my boat. I've got to make that effort today and tomorrow and the next day. The effort to know God, to listen to him, to hear his voice, and then to be obedient to God. I have to be willing to sacrifice things sometimes in order to do what God wants. And I mustn't be worried about the majority who are still going to be sat in the boat. I've got to get out and walk with Jesus. You know, the real change will happen with us and with Koinonia as a fellowship when our individual relationships are such that we'd rather take the risk than be comfortable. Peter took a risk. And yes, he actually failed, didn't he? He looked around and he failed, ultimately. But Jesus didn't mind that. He picked him up and they started again. It's better to take a risk with Jesus and fail than sit comfortably in the boat and do nothing. So where are you at the start of this new year? Still where you were last year? You know, let's make sure this time next year we can look back and say, yes, I have done something. I've made a difference. I've taken a risk. I've got out of my comfort zone. I've done something for God that perhaps I never thought I could do. I've taken that risk. And even if I've failed, I know that Jesus has picked me up and said, well done, let's try again. That's what God asks of us, you know. He doesn't ask us to live perfect lives. He knows we can't. What he does ask is that we do our best. That we listen to his word. And we act upon his word. That we're obedient in all things to him. Even if that challenges us right to the very core of our beings. That's what God wants. If you know that God has been speaking to you over the past year, over the past weeks, months, whatever it is, and you've been resisting because it's out of your comfort zone, don't resist him any longer. Listen to his voice. Get out of that boat and walk with Jesus.